Okay, so it's 1995. It's July 1995, and I am on the Pan American Highway riding a bike going from Oaxaca in southern Mexico to Panama. And I am following this woman who I'm totally and completely infatuated with. Like, I just completely idolize her. She's my best friend. She is, we're both juniors in college. And actually, this is a story I don't really tell. That was one of the first times I'd really told this story when I did the workshop. So bear with me here. So we had cooked up this idea. Actually, I had really started cooking up this idea about a year earlier. As a sophomore in college, I was taking women's studies courses and learning about a lot of women's involvement in social movements in Central America and really interested in how they were organizing. And so I thought, you know, from my abroad experience going abroad, instead of doing something through an institution or something, I should really do an independent project and really get down there and really see what these women, how they were organizing and what they were doing and what they were fighting about anyway, and how they were fighting the different issues going on with the government. And I had this friend who, the first time I met her, actually, I saw her across the lawn, and she's this petite little, she's sort of French and has this like incredible little body and everything. And I saw her across the road, and she's wearing this shirt that is like all white and in big black bold letters that says, "Fuck you." And I thought, wow, what a badass, you know, but also what a bitch. So we get to know each other, and I tell her, you know, so I have this plan that I'm going down to Central America, and I'm going to study these women's organizations. I'm going to interview some of these, I'm going to do like help these women somehow. I don't know how, but I'm going to help them. I might ride my bike. I'm going to ride my bike through Central America. And I'm thinking that, you know, this is never going to happen, and that's okay. And she says, "Well, I'm going with you. Fuck yeah, let's do this. We could totally do that. Yeah, this is how, you know, we could get the money. We'll talk to the lawyers at the university. So fast forward, we're back riding Pan American Highway, Oaxaca, and I don't really ride bikes. I don't really speak very good Spanish at all, even though I had convinced everyone, including myself, that I spoke great Spanish and that it'd be no problem. I hadn't done really all that great research, it turned out. My classes hadn't really sunk in too well, and sort of mixing the politics up. And we didn't have a map, you know, and this was like... I wish this wasn't so true, but anyway, so this is before internet, GPS. I mean, yeah. So we're lost. I mean, I'm totally lost. I don't even know where she is. I'm not like behind her. She's like, who knows, miles ahead of me. This would happen often, and I would try not to pee because I was so freaked out that anybody could come out of the jungle. And the Pan American Highway is like this big, by the way. It's like one little lane, and you're in the middle of nowhere the entire time, and we never knew where the hell we were. Quite literally and figuratively. So we're talking to these women's organizations throughout, and they basically all say the same two things to us. One is that if you really want to know about how women are organizing in Central America, and you really are going to have to go to Guatemala City, and you're going to have to go to Zone 1 of Guatemala City. It's divided into these zones. That's the center of the city. That's where the mother organization is. That's where you will learn about how this all works. By the way, you can't go to Guatemala City, Zone 1, because you won't really survive. It's really a bad idea, and you shouldn't do that. So we kind of, all right, you know. But we had really good intentions, and we really thought, like, but we got to go because we're trying to do this thing. We're going to help and learn and then come back and help more or something. So... we're very serious about this. So we get into, you know, we ride into, after having many confrontations along the Pan American Highway and in these various cities, any one of which should have really been a wake-up call to just call it quits. And I feel lucky that we got through those. And one of those sorts of things happened. Well, we had come into Guatemala City, and it looked really incredible, actually, when we rode in. There was actually a mall, and so we bought shoes and other things that you shouldn't ever buy if you're, you know, have to carry all of your weight, your stuff with you while you're riding. And we went to, there was a TGI Fridays, and that was amazing, because this was, now we had been, this was like, which I don't, I mean, I would never go there now, but, so, six... So, but this was 6 months into the. This is we ride into Guatemala City, and it's November or the end of November, beginning of December 1995, and we ride in, and we're thinking, well, this doesn't look too bad or whatever. And we talk to a couple more people, and they say, oh yeah, don't go into Zone One. I mean, just you don't there's don't do that. But if you do, don't wear any jewelry and don't take anything with you. So I'm looking at Manal as we're and you have to take the city bus. Which is dangerous in and of itself, but just take the city bus because you can't take a taxi, and if you ride your bike, you'll never make it there, so don't do that. Okay, so we're on the city bus, and I'm looking at Manal, and realizing she has like 15 different earrings in her ear here, and we have a backpack with us. She has this backpack that we've put our passports in and about $1,000 worth of traveler's checks. Which is really what you want to do when you're going into a super dangerous area. But that was where the bank was, where it was the only place that we could get this changed into actual money, which we've been trying to do for a long time. So we were going to knock out the thing with finally finding the mother organization and really getting the key into these women's organizations and also change this money. So we had been off this. So we ride in on the bus. And we get off the bus, and the place is a complete war zone. Now, the country had been at civil war for about 30 years at this point, and it was winding down, but had been overtaken by these military dictatorships over and over. And a couple years before this, the Supreme Court, the Congress, everything had been dissolved into nothing. So this was this epicenter of the conflict. There were fires, there were buildings that were completely blown out and torn apart. It looked like an earthquake had just happened. And there was an earthquake, but it was 20 years before this. There were homeless, whole families, children, there were a lot of dogs running around. So we start walking. She kind of heads out of the bus, so I'm like following her like, yeah, you know, she's this tall, you know, okay, we're going to be fine. So we start walking, and all of a sudden, I feel her kind of get pulled sort of back from me. And so I turn around, and I see that there are three people holding a rather large knife to her throat. And she's standing this way, and she's kicking. And she has... That's okay. That's better. That's better. Okay, so she's kicking... And she's got the backpack here, and so I just started sprinting sort of towards them. And this whole area is just so blown apart that it looks like there's no real businesses or anything. There, like all these buildings seem to maybe be vacant, but anyway, I'm running towards her and somehow ran in between all these three people and grabbed onto her here and started just sprinting as fast as I could. I was like almost holding her up by her shoulders and sprinting. So I ran us like through these doors somehow into this restaurant. And we got to the back of the restaurant and turned around, and there was like a kitchen behind us. But we're standing here. And the three people come in, and so they're standing here, and we're kind of having this face-off moment. And all of the people, it was 10 a.m. in the morning, so all of the people were eating their breakfast, and they just sort of politely kind of got up and moved over and sat back down. And I think that was a bad sign. And... this one guy got up and said something to them, and then they said something back, and he sat back down. I think I said to Manal, I think they want the backpack. meaning give them the fucking backpack and we can like maybe, you know, get through here. And but I couldn't say that to her at that time because I thought she knew what she was doing or something. But she starts screaming at them, like antagonizing them. So I decided I'm going to go and just negotiate. Anyway, so we have a big fight, crazy brawl, insanity. And at one point, I ended up sort of smashing this guy into this table and not really even, he had his hands in my pockets. And then I came up in this, and there was the biggest person. And it was the weirdest thing at this moment because there's the biggest person and there's the knife. And I realized it's just a boobs and it's a woman. And I'm totally flipped out because I have these good intentions. And I'm here to help. And also I'm like, wow, you guys, I'm sure you're hungry because this is a freaking war zone around here. And anyway, so we start fighting and we get into this thing and she stabs me in the arm. So I end up with the knife in my arm. And I run back and through the kitchen. My immediate response was to run back to the kitchen to see if I could get out the back door. There was no back door, and I'm screaming that I can't feel my fingers. My hand is just like not functioning, and my arm is filleted open. So Manal gives me her sweatshirt, and we're sitting there for maybe 10 seconds, and this guy comes running in with a blue bandana on his head, and we're like, oh, great. And he sits down, and over he's saying this in Spanish, and then that we are his sisters. You are my sisters. I'm going to help you. So we're like, whatever. So he leaves, and he comes back pretty quickly, like, and says, follow me. And so we follow him, and he's taking us out, and there's a white taxi cab sitting there, and he's telling the taxi driver, you take them to the hospital, take them to the nearest hospital, I will find you and your family, I will kill you if you don't, you need to take them to the hospital. I have no idea where this guy came from. We got in the car thinking, maybe we are going to end up in a hospital, that would be great. And meanwhile, this is just this really incredible pain, but at the same time, I think all I could really keep thinking was, what the fuck? I mean, those people, like, that we, I really wish we would have given them the backpack. I wish, though, I think now, I still can't feel three fingers in my right hand, but I have all this functionality in it, and I was really lucky to get to this hospital where I had the surgery and everything. But I think about those people, and I think that I wonder if they're still alive. I think about their circumstances, and I think about what I went home to, and. It makes me really realize that you can have great, I did have good intentions, but I really didn't know how to listen to myself, and so I couldn't really listen to other people. Thank you.